afternoon. Today is Friday, January the 30th, 30th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, surprise, surprise, Barbara Heckathorn is here.
I made it. I found out where you are.
Nice to see you.
Thank you.
And your navigator, Carol Reese, came along, too.
Yeah, she took me by the hand and got me here.
You know, part of it, you know, you changed the time. I mean, she was on her way for the 4 o'clock airing.
It's been...
How long?
Six years?
Yeah, I have a good memory.
Well, I'm glad you didn't show up at 8:30 or 8:15 in the morning.
Did you used to do it then, Brian?
Yeah, first 15, 20 years.
You'd never see the two of us then.
Yeah.
That's true.
Say. So, now we got both of you here. What are we going to talk about?
Well, we're going to talk about good news and bad news, I think, is what I was thinking about. What we're doing with the water district, all the good things that are going on, and then some of the problems that we're facing.
Okay, so challenges and successes.
Yeah, big challenges, okay. Exactly.
Good. Nice to see you back in town, too, Carol. We'll talk about good and bad
with
whoever's here when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Barbara Heckathorn and Carol Reich from the Humboldt Water District. Our quote this afternoon. What was it? Oh, Harriet Beecher Stowe. There she is. She moves well for a dead gal. Quote, "No one is so thoroughly superstitious as the godless man." Going into Super Bowl Sunday. It's always interesting this week, isn't it? What's going on out there? So what about for you ladies? What's exciting and happening other than the fact we're not getting rain again?
Well, we hope to get rain, but I think the projections are not too much, doesn't look too bright right now.
But Ruth Lake is full. So we
have ours.
But we do hope everyone else gets more. That's right.
Oh, yes. You hope you get yours, but I got mine, baby.
Yeah. No, we really do hope there's more to come.
What does it mean when the state is in this drought situation? I know we had lamented the governor's decision middle of last year because this area that may not normally have qualified, you know, we're in the boat called California. Okay. But then Riodale got its special dispensation, so to speak. How has your procedures or your processes changed because the fact that we're in this drought? Is there anything that the board or the staff is having to do differently because of that designation?
I don't think at this point we are following the, the drought dictates of conserving, but we do have our needed water, the Ruth Lake Matthews Dam filled. So we had at the peak of the summer drought, we had enough water for a couple of years yet. So even when during the 70s when we had the big drought. And we were delivering water to the pulp mills. We had enough water. And that was a worse drought than we had right now. So I don't think we're doing too much different, are we, Carol?
No, that's true. It really is dire at the statewide landscape. I just heard the report on the news driving in this morning that Department of Water Resources did its second snowpack survey for the year, and it's a quarter of what it should be. So December in the northern part of the state, they had pretty good snow melt and the translation of water content, but they just did their second snow survey, and it's only a quarter. If it doesn't change, it'll be, I think, the fourth consecutive year of a really severe drought for the state. So we have a bit of a microcosm going on up here.
So when they say state, yeah, I love it. You know, we're in other areas, we'd be seven states.
Right.
Or more.
Yeah. So, if we're New England. Of course, then we wouldn't be worrying about drought now, would we?
That would be true.
No, we'd be in a separate state altogether.
So the fact that the whole state is under one reference, if you will, one set of data, how goofy is that to have you guys operating under the same thing that, let's say, Simi Valley is under? I mean, it just doesn't seem to make sense.
Well, like one thing fits all, or one program fits all, and we've asked to have another look at that. And I think we had some forgiveness on that. But, you know, with us, with the excess water, and we're looking that we have, and we're looking at maybe sharing it with another part of the state. And that's some of our good news that we have today.
Somebody wants it and is willing to pay for it?
No, they haven't. We haven't got that far, but we're getting closer. And we're looking at, at the time we had the water bag fiasco, and everybody knows about that, or most everybody. And we're looking at pipeline right now. And we met with Assemblyman Jim Wood this morning, and we were sharing what we were doing with the water transport, with what losing the mills, what impact it had with us, and it's a loss of income. So what we're trying to do is use the water locally if we can, but we all know that there's not an entity, no business that uses as much as the pulp mills did. So looking at in-stream flow, and then the other thing would be to supplement, to help the ratepayers, would be to ship it out of the area. And so with the drought in place, that may become more of a reality than we're thinking.
And just to add on one, as she said, one of the options is looking at that in-stream flow dedication, as we've talked a few times with you and your listeners, if there's an environmental enhancement of the Mad River. But the transport option is advancing. Just next week, our team is going down and meeting with some Mendocino, Sonoma, Marin agencies, and a couple of ag interests for the first time.
How? I got a thought. KINS, News and Information, Times 319. We'll be back.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Barbara Heckathorn and Carol Reisch from the Humboldt Municipal Water District. Ladies, the how thing that I had before the break, I was thinking, because you guys have done the studies about the pipeline sending it south.
Yeah, we have done the study.
What about a pipeline heading over the mountain to the Trinity, who's got that funny duck situation with the feds and water flows and things like that? I would think that the feds would be more than willing to pay for whatever the charge is to get the water into that basin, mm-hmm. to avoid all the problems and the contract issues and the cost of bringing it in from somewhere else. Or does that make sense? Is that something that the board has looked at as a possible? I mean, it's a shorter pipe, but at least it keeps the water in the neighborhood.
Well, we looked at, I mean, we've talked about it, but that hasn't been our goal. Carol, you probably can explain.
Well, when we did it may not generate revenues, depending on, like you said, the feds. Would they really pay for that?
Here's your IOU.
Right, exactly. But we did in the pipeline study we did, that, again, kind of reconnaissance level, but we looked south, and we'd love a North Coast solution. We have look east to get the water into the state water project, but we did also a third route north where we would dump it into two places on the Trinity for that very reason, to kind of vet that idea with whether it's the feds, whether it's with the tribal interests, whether all those folks around the table with the Klamath settlement. We didn't cost that one out, but we wanted to show at least it is a short distance and at least get that on the table for others to take a look at.
Easements and right of ways and that kind of stuff is attainable?
Well, the studies have not been done to that detail. It's more how would you route it, and then about what would it cost, and then
what was the about?
That's the only one we didn't do a cost on, because right now there's no customer, and we didn't think it would likely be that feasible or of interest. But we wanted to get it on the map and see if there was interest. It would be fairly easy to cost out if anyone said, hey, I'm interested.
But the feds so far, with this whole court settlement and issues, hasn't...
Right. Now, the other thing, what we have in the context of the Trinity Klamath is pretty small amount of water. It's huge for municipal...
Oh, really? It's not...
But if you really look at, I mean, those are huge, huge river systems. I mean, just Humboldt County's allocation from the Trinity that we're supposed to never get was 50,000 acre feet. I mean, that's probably more than we're talking about for a whole transfer and dealing with our issue. That's just what Humboldt County was supposed to get after the diversion.
Okay. So how much was running out to the pulp mills? What's the equivalent?
It was an acre feet.
Yeah, I'm trying to get the conversions here, and I didn't borrow my cheat sheet. We had contracts with.
Wait a minute. Everybody says you got this stuff.
We do it in acre feet and GPM and CFS
and
MGD
and gallons.
MGD.
We got.
You do it in kegs.
Yeah. For Super Bowl party.
We had 60 million gallons
per day. That would be about, I think, 55,000 acre feet, I believe, if I've got my math right.
And we have rights for 80,000 a year, acre feet.
Yes.
And so it doesn't equate.
So if you pop that over the hillside and you put it into the Trinity, is that enough to do anything?
You know, I'm not an expert on the Trinity. In the summer, you know, you have to also look at how would you use it. I mean, that amount of water would be a pretty good amount of water in the summer, but we've got it year-round.
So it might help, but it's not going to necessarily solve it.
Yeah, my point is there are much bigger river systems with much bigger issues and much bigger flow. So that which we'd have, I'm not saying it wouldn't be a value. We need someone to look at it and say, could that be a value?
But what we're looking at, it would be going south or east. I mean, and that would help the municipalities perhaps on the way down and look at Sonoma or Mendocino and somebody that has the ability to pay for the use of the water.
Yeah, not the IOU issuance.
No, that isn't a good thing.
Somehow I just don't have faith that you guys would get your check regularly from Uncle Sam. I don't know. I don't. But, of course, the state has a pretty good record of WHOMI also.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure which would be better served. Which could be implemented quicker. I mean, going south, it would seem like that would take a ton of time just to get the infrastructure developed and locked in and put in place.
Well, I think a pipeline in any direction, although north is shorter, you would probably be dealing with fairly similar. I mean, by the time you really get, is there a customer or interested party at the other end? You do your environmental documents, you do your engineering. The construction period would be the only part of the overall timeline that would be shorter. And the construction period would not be the longest part on the timeline.
That's right. Most of us see the digging and go, ooh, 3 months and it's done. And not recognizing the 10-year lead up
to that. You got it.
Now, I know the feds occasionally will waive certain studies that are normally required. Because California's in a drought, because there's these court determinations, do those tend to be the things that would qualify for the fast track, if you will? I think that may even be the phrase that's used. Or are those just kind of normal stuff and it would still take, by the time you got the pipe in, the drought's over and it's a fading memory?
Well, that could be. I mean, right now we're dealing with the drought. And the other issue is, you know, the marijuana grows that are diverting water and the drought has really impacted that. And so that's something we have to deal with.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Barbara Heckathorn and Carol Riesch.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Barb Heckethorn and Carol Reisch from the Humboldt Municipal Water District. So with the infrastructure challenges that are out there, whether you're trying to get a pipe over the hill or a pipe down into other areas, if you're looking at a 10 to a 12 to a 15-year horizon to get this stuff done.
We are.
Okay. That, I guess, hits the end of the contract period, but not by a whole lot.
Exactly.
And for those folks that need the water, that's not solving their situations at all. You know, maybe long-term planning stuff. Mm-hmm. So what's being suggested for these communities that are really being hard hit by drought? What do they do?
Well, that's a real good question. What do they do? I guess everybody has to conserve, and that's what we've been looking at. And perhaps we've hit, at some point there's going to be a wall that you hit that you can't conserve anymore. So, in some areas, if desal would be beneficial. Of course, we think, our water that we have would be beneficial.
Sure, but you're not going to get to San Diego, say.
And we don't want to get to San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, that's not practical for anybody.
No, and they're doing their desal. They have desal there.
Right, that's why I used them. So for those areas that do need it, that are far enough away, either from the mountains or from the rivers, are they starting processes to develop their own infrastructure, or are they waiting for either God or the governor to come in and go, boom, and now thou shalt have water?
I think the governor is what they're looking at. I mean, they're looking at building, dams is, and that's a difficult, well, that's years down the line also. I don't know if there's anything that is going to be done immediately that's going to solve the problem.
I think a couple things there. I'm hearing that there's more groundwater development, more straws being poked in. But that, again, that's one of the short-term measures that you can have success. But a lot of groundwater basins are being depleted, and there's new groundwater sustainability legislation, so that's a short-term one. I do know the state changed its mechanisms by which transfers could happen much more efficiently and quickly, even to transfer water. Two parties who have water rights. In this case, let's say there is a conveyance to move it from party one to party two. It could take for years just to get the approval process for that transfer to go through.
So they set up. It's not Papstein showing up and talking to Reisch and saying, okay,
I got water for you. You got it tomorrow.
We signed a contract.
You got
it.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
So the state did that. They were trying to say, we got to get these transfers, kind of on an emergency petition basis, and happen sooner. Barbara already mentioned conservation. They just keep saying, use less, use less, use less. So I think those are
kind
of
like
the
garbage guys, though, isn't it, Carol? Where they cut it in half. Cut it in half again.
Yep.
Cut it in half.
At some point,
well,
you can't. You're
there's a critical
squeezing.
Mass.
Exactly.
It's there, and you can't go below that.
Yes.
And legislate or fine or whatever you want. It isn't going to happen.
But your point is well taken. At some point, especially with multiple-year droughts, you start hitting a place where there's no place to go in the short term. You're absolutely right.
And it's a long term.
Yeah.
So as they're considering some of these options, they're kind of between a rock and a hard place, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it does speak to I think you have to keep your eye on the long term, because at some point the long term again becomes a short term.
Well, I keep thinking of traffic in Eureka. That's my reference on all the. You ignore it for 50 years, now all of a sudden you got a major boar's nest and you can't do anything about it. There's been buildup and there's just no access and the money isn't there. And what do you mean it's my turn to pay for all the, and the infrastructure starts falling apart?
That's my point. So it's not going to solve the short term, but you got to have your eye to the long term and begin to make realistic plans to get there.
Is there public pressure to do that, though?
I don't know if you're talking out of the area, but what we focus on is what we have here. Other parts of the state, I can't imagine that if we have excess water, we wouldn't share it. But getting it to them is the hard part. And
if they don't want it at that price, whatever the delivery price is.
But I think that if there is no water, there's any price is okay.
Yeah, was that MasterCard commercial priceless?
Exactly.
Now, I recall from past conversations that you can't make any money on this stuff, though. it can't become a profit center,
budget. We're not an agency that makes profit, but we could set prices to recover all of our costs and contribute to infrastructure back on the home front and set up reserves.
I see. So you pack it in a little bit?
We still are a nonprofit, but there's a lot of ways that revenues would significantly benefit the district and the ratepayers.
Well, the ratepayers is what we're looking at.
Is that a politician-type answer?
That sounds like you're at a seminar and the regulators are in the room. KINS. That works for me. Oh, boy. KINS, News and Information Times, 341. We'll be back with more from Carol Reich and Barb Heckathorn.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Barbara Heckathorn and Carol Reich. So with the stuff that is known, I know you guys are trying to figure out how many marijuana plants, what's the impact, yada, 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 with all of that stuff into the system. And I guess it was probably brought on by the algae as much as seeing the water drop, but it certainly stands out with the drought. What is the impact? I mean, you know, you see pipes every once in a while going down, but I saw those in the 60s, and those weren't plants. I think those were feeding cabins.
What is the impact of the...
Of the marijuana industry on water in the Mad River drainage? Do we know? Was that study completed?
I don't know if it's impacted the Mad River itself to a great degree, but it's impacted the streams that feed into the Mad River. And there's the water that runs in, the fish, it assists the fisheries. And then also with all the fertilizers, et cetera, they're polluting the water. And if it does run into the Mad, that can affect that. And the rodenticides also. There's quite an impact.
Carol, any idea to what extent the impact is?
Well, we just had, we partnered with Department of Fish and Wildlife and asked them to do an assessment of the watershed, and we just got, you know, the first pass of the effects on how much water is used and how many there are. And it is a lot of water. They estimate about 60,000 outdoor plants. Just in our watershed, and it's the most of the watersheds they've studied. It's the most they've seen. Now, granted, I think ours is a little bit bigger, geography-wise. A lot of water diversions, most of which aren't permitted. And then, as Barbara said, the other thing, there's just a lot of things that affect the earth. You know, if you're a timber harvest operator, if you're a rancher, if you're a vineyard operator, and you're going to cut a road in or you're going to put development there, you have to do it per certain standards. You can't have the erosion anymore. So there's a lot of stuff, as Barbara said, going into the streams that doesn't belong there and is going to undo decades of things that we're making improvements.
The regulators are not in the room. It's okay.
Well, they're working on it now. You probably heard they just picked Sproul Creek and Southern Humboldt to do a pilot to test the regs. There is about to be a regulatory program. Folks are working on an ordinance for the counties. There's about to be a regulatory program that they're going to start dealing with this.
If you had the pulp mills and you had the marijuanas, the amount of water that each needed in their heyday or need in their heyday, comparable?
Not at all.
75%, half?
I don't yet have that, but in not too long, we can start getting a perspective on that.
That might be, at least allow us to kind of think a little bit along those lines.
Now, the pulp mill is used a lot of water.
A lot, yeah. Yeah, I'd never thought of suggesting we just have plantations out on the spit. As a way to offset the water.
Some have.
Some had.
And there's conversations beginning to happen.
Gee. Even before the election, huh? Holy cow.
Or in one of those pipeline routes. I mean, if you want to start thinking strategically.
Sure, you could have a branch off into a bunch of those growing areas. That would make a lot of sense. And if big tobacco moves in, which would seem to be a natural conclusion. Yeah. Hey, that could be game on. So you, we're changing the nameplate on your door? Is that what the rumor is?
That's what Carol has told us, that she would like to retire sometime in July.
You're not allowing this, though, right?
Well, we've all said no, but she seems to
okay,
be
good. No, next topic.
She wants to, yes, and so we're in the process of looking for a general manager, and we've just started the process.
So what do you look for?
We're looking for a Carol clone.
You're too kind.
You know, just go down to Stanford, and you know, she won't miss those cells at all, and we'll just kind of move on.
Wasn't Dolly the first one?
Yeah.
No, Carol's been great, and she's actually taken a big part of looking for her replacement.
Oh, so you're going to be involved in the recruitment process?
Well, I'm supporting. The board's formed a committee. The full board will be working on this and making the selection, but there's a couple of us at the district that are doing all the staff support, but we also are really getting the word out. You know, just want to make sure. And we are asking folks, think about someone that you might know that might be qualified, and part of it is getting someone who likes living here in this community is really important.
Yeah, they have to understand the community, I think. We're unique.
So, what are the... Do you need to be a hydrologist? I mean, what is the qualification?
Well, in engineering. Carol has an engineering background. And
she can't. She has a personality. She cannot be an engineer.
I didn't understand that. And I suppose she didn't either. Nobody told her that.
Yeah. Batsky, I'm rolling over here. I got it. Oh, jeez.
Well, typical, I mean, on a serious note, you know, it's not so much one particular field, but, you know, what we've talked about is management, administration, water resources, utility, municipal government. So, because we do a lot of things here. We're a small agency, and you have to be able to do a lot of things here.
Well, at least we got 6 more months we can play ball.
Absolutely.
Just don't keep sending in the board members. I want you now all for right, the last right. 6 months.
Oh, I'll let you tell them that.
All righty. Thanks for coming
Thanks
by.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
I think I just did. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs and we love. See you tomorrow morning.